Hello, I'm James, and I've loved Seinfeld ever since it was part of the BBC Two's late night lineup in the 1990s.
Hello, I'm Steve. I also experienced Seinfeld in the same time slot, except I greeted it with great indifference and only watched the first episode.
But together, we're going to watch the entire Seinfeld series in a show that we call Hello, Newman. Hello, welcome to episode two of Hello Newman. I'll get that right eventually. We're watching Seinfeld from episode one to episode 172. I've looked it up since the first since the first episode we recorded. I think I should probably be armed with some facts, so I've memorised them all, and I don't have a small computing device in front of me at all.
That would be cheating.
Although that's a lie, because I have a laptop on which we are watching Seinfeld on Amazon Prime.
Yes.
We're watching episode one or episode two, depending on how you look at it, the stakeout. And this is the first episode from the first, in inverted commas, full season. Although season one was very short, it was four episodes.
Oh, four!
So really, yeah, I think I said six in the last.
No, I think I said six.
Oh well, one of us did. One of us is an idiot.
We were outflighting each other there.
Yeah, so
but
this
only
is,
four.
This is yeah, one of four that was picked up by the network, and
that's quite an unusual number, though, isn't it?
Four. It is. I think it was. Shows. I think it was over. Over the summer, I think, if I remember rightly, it was it in the cheer? I don't think it was in the cheer slot to start with. I think eventually it took over from cheers, but I'm sure it was either on immediately after, I think it was on maybe immediately after it originally.
Right, okay.
But whether it was now, so I'm doing it again, aren't I? I'm telling you a bit of knowledge that I've got, but didn't bother looking up to check how all of those facts actually stack up.
I'm sure that
in real life. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I'm bound to get much better at this as we go on. Shall we watch?
We should.
Okay, so this is if you're watching on Amazon Prime, this is season one, episode two, The Stakeout. The counter is at Nero.
Mm-hmm.
That's worrying, isn't it? I hope that isn't some sort of weird Freudian thing. Although he came much later than the Romans, didn't he? Okay, and I'm pressing play. So first thing that's different from the first episode, the tingly-tingly tick-tick-tick of the Seinfeld theme tune is heard for the first time. Logo, though, still isn't right.
Not in place, yeah. Still just some dry text.
Yeah.
I guess that was a season two thing, maybe?
Yeah, no, I assume so. Yeah, it must have been, yeah. Stays the same for season one. Oh, little bit of the, here comes the toms. I'm just sitting there waiting for the first bit of slap bass.
I can tell you're very excited about it.
I am.
Jerry Seinfeld wearing a map.
Oh, there it is! Interesting fact about the slap bass, Steve. That's all done on a synthesizer.
Yeah, sounds very MIDI.
Yeah, no one was slapping a bass. I thought for much of my...
No basses were harmed in the making of this theme song.
But I used to sit here fantasizing about what would the bassist look like. I always assumed he'd have a green bass guitar.
Okay.
I don't know why.
What kind of green? Bright green?
Oh, it'd be yeah, like a sort of... Like a neon green, but maybe not so bright.
Maybe a bit faded.
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of what I'm... So, Elaine
yeah,
is
here.
Yeah, and for anyone who's younger than us, this is a video store where people would hire films. They would hire a single film on a magnetic tape that they would have players for at home, and then they'd watch that. And of course, this is how pornography was served. Also, there was
some tactfully placed stickers.
Yeah. But back in the early 90s, you could only watch full feature-length productions of pornography. admittedly, I don't know about your habits when you're a younger man, but you very rarely got through a whole film in a single sitting, I found. Best watched in small bites. But again, really progressive. Early 90s, they're talking about porn and they're talking about sexual relationships. This is all quite unusual for the sitcoms of the time.
There we go, a little drop there. Now we know their relationship.
And apparently this is why this episode played in this slot. It wasn't originally written to be the first episode of the short season, but it establishes the relationship of Jerry and Elaine, who were previously in a relationship, but now were just very, very good friends. I, for one, again, it's one of the conventions that it kind of bucked against. I still don't believe that men and women can have proper, like, platonic friendships. Seems like an almost unimaginable concept to me. Or maybe certainly in the 1990s it was almost a bit, but it was very unusual.
Yeah.
We meet Jerry's parents for the first time in this episode.
Connected to the whole wedding thing that they've just discussed.
That's right, yeah, absolutely. That's why they're in town. And this is the whole setup of why Jerry is going to go along to a meal with Elaine, is because she's agreed to.
Here we go.
Sorry.
I'm sure that line between the two old ladies is a callback to the first episode, to the pilot.
Oh, it could have been.
A joke about, you know, once you're dead, you're dead.
Yeah.
You know, because there was the whole thing in the first episode about over dry and over dead.
Of course.
So, yeah. I spotted that. And I thought, I think that might be a callback to the pilot.
Or it could just be Larry David's morbid tendencies.
Maybe.
I mean, you know, he's quite preoccupied. But yeah, no, very possibly. Okay, so Jerry's parents are played in this episode by Philip Burns, who plays his father. And Liz Sheridan, who will continue playing his mother throughout the season.
Okay.
So here we are, the this week's object of Jerry's lust.
Of course. He's already delivering the A-grade material here, isn't he?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. He's probably got another 15 minutes of tattoo material, though. Of course, this is before it was... I don't know...
Is this usual, the internal kind of monologue? Do you get that a lot in Seinfeld?
Yeah, pretty sure. Yeah. It's played really nicely here with the repetition of the name of the firm she works with in the moment. Well, apparently the four names that make up her company's name, we're going to hear it in a second, are four friends of Larry David from college.
Oh.
Thank you, IMDb, for that. Hello Newman is brought to you by the Internet Movie Database. That was another...
Is this cock-blocking here, do you think?
Oh, most certainly, yeah. Although, to be fair to Elaine, it doesn't happen that often. This must be lifted from a stand... It feels like it's lifted from a stand-up bit. Have you ever been out with your ex-girlfriend? Here we go. See, they talk about in the cast commentaries, they talk about the fact that Jerry wasn't the strongest member of the cast in terms of his acting ability this time, but his delivery is brilliant. That four names repeated really quickly, and it's really funny. It's really nicely delivered. I mean, you know, the guy's playing himself, but he plays himself really well.
Yeah, he does. If anyone was going to play Jerry Seinfeld, I think Jerry Seinfeld was a shoo-in.
Yeah, I think Larry David had
it
right.
He doesn't need to be an actor.
No.
It might be different if he was playing a different character, but if he's playing a variation on himself, he knows how to do it.
Absolutely.
And everyone else is doing the acting around him anyway. Mm. So, even if he didn't quite sell a scene in the right way, everything else happening around him helps build that world.
You're right. I love the fact that Elaine is pretty much established as is, straight out of the box. She's nice enough, but there's nothing particularly likeable about her. And that's the thing I like eventually is...
Just the reaction she's having now about Jerry not remembering or not really paying that much attention to what she was saying and just like being really angry about it gives you an idea already that, you know, okay, maybe she's not super chill.
Yeah. But it's like, you know, she's always got that sort of... All of them are quite conceited, though, in their own way, or certainly become so. I mean, Jerry is obsessed with his pursuit constantly. Elaine, very obsessed with herself. George is very obsessed with herself. And Kramer just doesn't quite live in the same astral plane as everyone else.
Yeah, it's not even aware that he's kind of...
Yeah.
Maybe not thinking of others.
But so I was thinking if Seinfeld was filmed now, would he have tattoos? Would Jerry be a hipster? Would he have a sailor's tattoo on his forearm?
They'd all be obviously very young and would have hit the gym for about 4 months before filming.
Oh, it'd be horrendous, wouldn't it?
That's one thing I really like about this kind of television is that people just looked a little bit more regular and a little bit more relatable.
Yeah, yeah.
There we go.
There it is.
What used to be a sunroom or
but
weird-looking greenhouse is now gone.
Are you able to identify the hardware? Steve, you are an Apple fan. Do you know what the hardware is?
Well, it's an all-in-one.
Mm.
So it is definitely a Macintosh. I would struggle to tell you what version it is without looking it up.
It's very modern, though. It's got a floppy disk drive in the front there,
It does, yep.
And I expect you'd get some pretty cool green on black text.
No, you would have had... I don't know whether you... Again, it's not on, so it's hard to tell. I don't know whether there was a colour screen at the time, but it would have either been monochrome or colour, the screen.
Oh, wow. Because there was a point in the 80s where all computers not only would have green on black text... but would play the Blade Runner theme very faintly in the background.
Okay. And would be connected to a big machine with like two great big tape.
Whirring reels. Tapes. Yeah.
Yeah, and some nondescript flashing lights underneath it.
Yeah, and air conditioning that utilised a Boeing 747 engine.
So does Seinfeld's apartment have a separate bedroom?
Eventually it does. I don't think it does in this episode, does it? Because he has to... Doesn't he have to find somewhere to... Because the frustration is about the lack of room, I'm pretty sure.
Mm.
And I don't think in the first season you have the bike yet. In Seinfeld, by where the bathroom is, there's a bike hanging.
Oh, okay.
And I don't think we have the hanging bike yet.
Can't say I've spotted it.
But the...
I feel sad that he's lost... Unless it's been moved somewhere else, he's lost his telescope.
Yeah, that is very sad. Maybe it made him look too much like a perv. I mean, you're not looking at the stars if you're in apartment blocks, surrounded by apartment blocks,
are you? New York, there's a lot of opportunities for the telescope, I suppose.
Yeah, he's basically... He's peeping it through those blinds... And he's having his own little contest. I'm sure the kitchen gets bigger.
Yeah, different cabinets now. You can see into the cupboards.
No, you notice there's quite a lot already, but Jerry seems to buy and eat an inordinate amount of cereal. That's something that's worth looking out for as we progress through it, is how much this guy likes to eat cereal. I think it's probably how he keeps his figure, is he eats nothing but cereal. I mean, could you stay... you'd be malnourished, but...
I don't know. If it's fortified with vitamins and iron, he's probably doing okay.
Yeah, probably. As long as he's eating the right sort of things. You don't want Cocoa Pops every day, do you?
I'm sure he mixes it up.
Yeah. Nice establishing shot of a nice building there.
Mm.
So here we are on the stakeout. another George and Jerry. George kind of looking more George-like in this scene, and he's cranked up the neurosis just a little bit more, so it's a more comfortably George Costanza now. Nice sports jacket though. He wears that combo quite well, doesn't he?
Worth making a quick mention, actually, in the last scene with the discussion between Jerry and his parents. A lot of that was kind of further establishing the kind of the history between Jerry and Elaine.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether it was deliberate. It probably was. Yeah. But there's kind of the feeling that there's a will they, won't they kind of thing also happening with that relationship as well. Yeah. That, you know.
Which gets played up in the first season.
Yeah.
And I think it's to the show's credit that they never went there again. It's just she's one of the friends in the same way that Kramer and George are friends. She's just one of his social circle that he sees all the time. And I think that's what was interesting and refreshing about Seinfeld, is it made these people believable. Because of course your friendship groups are made up of people that you don't have sex with or want to have sex with. You know, there's more to human interaction than that. But, you know, I always think about Cheers being the really big sitcom at the time, which was built around constantly overplayed will they, won't they's.
Yeah.
The whole way through Cheers, it's the whole central tenet is the... And it just got insane at the end. Because you can't sustain that. Whereas I think one of the reasons that Seinfeld never flags is... Because they don't heighten the relationships, they never get overplayed, so they can remain consistent in terms of having these situations built around them. It's never about their relationship with each other, it's always about the situations in which they find themselves. It's notable now they call this stalking, apparently.
Yeah, not so much a stakeout, but a stalkout.
Steve, this show just couldn't happen now. You couldn't write this story in 2017.
It would just feel creepy, wouldn't it? There was not anything that feels natural about, oh, here's a girl that I briefly met and was interested in catching up with, and we'd have to go through this whole rigmarole of waiting for her work, trying to get a feeble... reason why they're hanging around waiting when everyone's got a mobile phone and you could just like tap them up on Facebook or something.
Yeah, I'm going to say he'd hit her up on Facebook, wouldn't he? I mean, that's...
You know, at 2 a.m. in the morning when he was struggling to sleep, just kind of like Google searching her and finding out everything he possibly could.
And send her a dick pic.
Yeah.
I don't think, actually, that's a missed opportunity. I don't think Jerry would ever have sent... They would have had to have done an episode about the unsolicited dick pic, but it had been sent by accident.
Of course.
So
just stepped out of the shower, was sending a message to someone, accidentally took a photograph. Yeah.
And they have to get to that person's mobile phone before they see the message. We've written it. That's our modern... I don't know the actor, so it's hard to feel personally sad for him that he didn't remain as Jerry's dad, but I like the character that Jerry's dad becomes. I like the parents in this, full stop.
Mm-hmm.
Kramer's got dressed. But actually, this scene is a really lovely example of Michael Richards' ability to breathe life into a scene purely with his physicality. He works great with props and eating. He's a real scene stealer in everything he's in. Oh, he's busted. I think it's only really in this season as well that Jerry would care about. I'm kind of glad they moved beyond it, because that could have got really overdone really quickly, I think.
Yeah, it could have really dragged the show down.
Yeah.
I mean, not in a horrible way, obviously, yeah. But if you go too far down that route, you end up having to kind of deliver on it. And it's one of those things that once you put them back into a full-on relationship, you lose the tension.
Yeah.
And then when they break up again afterwards, which is another inevitable thing, you're going to do the scripting. Mm. You haven't reset anything. Yeah. And
but I like that you kind of never really have to fuss about their relationship, so it is only just weird shit happening to them outside of the bubble of their friendship.
At the beginning of this scene as well, I think there was another callback to the pilot where Kramer was raiding the fridge and there was a line about salad dressing, which again kind of went back to the first one where he turns up with two slices of bread. God, that book makes me anxious. Look at that.
Yeah, I know. It's not good. We need a medical dictionary. Brilliant. This is a reoccurring theme with people offering Jerry unsolicited advice for material. I enjoy that a great deal. Obviously something that preoccupied Seinfeld and David, I imagine.
And also the fact that it's like family members and stuff around him going, oh, he's a comedian.
Yeah. He's no Uncle Leo, but Uncle Mac is a very early version of the character that I become Uncle Leo later on. But I love that line. I'm writing a book. It's based on all my experiences. It's really beautifully delivered line. It's so unhinged. I love it. And they managed to get something you find as you go through is the performances they get out of supporting players in the show is insane. Like, really funny, weird characterizations. But it's nice getting to meet the wider Seinfeld family for the first time. We get to meet his cousin again later on. Again, another nice sports jacket. I imagine how old you have to be to have got the John Cougar Mellencamp reference.
Older than me, I think. I missed that.
Oh, man. Oh, God. That's very depressing. But it is great, isn't it? It's like, it's the very, all right, it was written as a second one, but it's a brand new podcast, brand new sitcom. And it's like, right, we're burying this, will they, won't they, bullshit.
Yeah.
Straight in it, here's its grave, and we put it in it. It's quite a bold thing to do. Picture in the background is Jerry Seinfeld's dad.
Okay.
Hmm. Again, I know that from, if you buy the DVDs, you listen to the commentaries. You know, I'm only repeating information that other people say. I'm not. I wasn't part of the production crew. Yeah,
she's teasing him here.
Yeah. And it's the whole thing about them not being nice people is Jerry's quite merciless in how he teases people. There's clearly affection, but I think he'd be a real pain in the ass to be around. My neuroses wouldn't be able to handle his constant piss taking. He'd get me on the wrong day. Jerry and Elaine really are quite voracious sexes of people as well. I mean, they are so incredibly promiscuous, Jerry and Elaine, which again is kind of mad because a big deal's never made of it. It's just what they do. That's the life they lead. They have lots of relationships and sex with people. It's, man, the 90s was a hell of a time, wasn't it?
Was it?
Yeah. Yeah, all that AIDS, but no wars. I mean, you know, there was a massive war in Central Europe, but, you know, Eastern Europe.
Yeah, a lot of things were happening over there.
Yeah, but, you know, we knocked a wall down. But if you're in the business putting them back up, I hear... Anyway, that was Seinfeld episode 2 or episode 1, depending on where you're counting from.
Mm.
The stakeout. It's pretty strong. There's some points that make me properly laugh out loud in there. I think the repetition of the firm's name makes me laugh every single time.
Very good.
So actually, you're getting the... Oh, I think we get the Castle Rock thing. Oh, there
you
go.
Yeah,
oh,
there it is.
That's so nice. I used to watch these on as I was falling asleep in the evenings. And quite often, the last thing I'd remember before falling asleep was the Castle Rock Lighthouse. Very calming.
Yeah.
Steve, what did you make of episode 2, the stakeout?
Good. More than anything, it's about getting the Jerry and Elaine thing set.
Yeah.
Here's what is effectively a brand new character at this point.
Yeah.
And it really... introduces her, gives her a place, gives her a relationship with Jerry good solid ground. You understand their history a little bit, and they're kind of dicking with each other a little bit, but that's the meat of that episode, the point of it. But it's still it does enough with George and Kramer that if you hadn't seen the pilot, you kind of get a good impression of who they are.
Yeah, we're not
and how they fit in as well.
We're not at the point yet where all four characters get a story, but they're all well serviced and
well, they're at the moment just around Jerry, aren't they? I imagine as things go on and people want a little bit more to do in an episode or whatever, they're going to have more lighter plots and stuff. But yeah, I mean they're all floating around Jerry. It's still very. Yeah. I mean, even in this episode, it's still very much. Like a getting to know everything sort of a situation.
And it's still kind of true to the concept of he's a stand-up who's kind of gathering material just through his lived experience.
Yeah, absolutely. And that, I think for me, in the next episode, things start clicking like that. You know, I wasn't picking up quite yet how it was... deliberate that the stand-up and the scenes around it were you know, Jerry is delivering a stand-up based on these experiences. You know, it's no coincidence that these things are happening around each other.
These first five or six episodes are my least favorite of all the Seinfelds, but having said that, I love Seinfeld, so I still love them. I think although they're much weaker than what comes later, it's still a brilliant cast. Acting, I mean, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, it's kind of insane how hard she hits the ground running.
In terms
of her character, is almost completely fully developed and identifiable as Elaine. She's kind of consistent with the character she's going to be in 7 or 8 years' time. It's incredible, actually. Writing and performance wise, and certainly George feels a bit more like George in this episode. Kramer's got dressed, definitely not as wacky as he will become, but he's getting there. But I feel like this one, it really beautifully introduces the Seinfeld universe, if you like. So it's feels like we're fully in the water now. And I assume you enjoyed it.
I did.
Good, me too. So that's it. That's Seinfeld episode 2, The Stakeout. This is the end of episode 2 of Hello Newman. Thanks for listening. And we'll speak to you next time. Bye-bye.
See ya.